I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. The head of the agency in charge of the safety of China's food supply has resigned over the growing tainted baby formula scandal. Four babies have reportedly died and over 50,000 are ill because of the industrial chemical melamine, which causes kidney stones and kidney failure, and which it now appears was known to be in the formula. Central China Television is reporting that complaints about the baby formulas were made as early as December of 2007, but the manufacturers didn't act on those complaints, nor did they report them to the government. Melamine has now been found in infant formula and milk products from 22 of China's dairy companies. Now, these products have never come to the U.S., and they've now been pulled off shelves in China, but they and other Chinese exports are being banned across Asia. Well, Marion Nessel is not surprised. She's a professor of nutrition, food studies, and public health at New York University, also the author of a number of books on food safety and politics. In her latest, Pet Food Politics, The Chihuahua in the Coal Mine, Marion goes through a step-by-painful-step analysis of last year's pet food crisis, how melamine-tainted wheat gluten from China poisoned and killed maybe thousands of cats and dogs in the U.S. And Marion joins us in the studio. So you are now very familiar with melamine, the same ingredient in the baby formula. What is it?
Melamine is an organic compound that has a lot of nitrogen in it. And if you add it to various kinds of substances, it makes it look like those substances have a lot of protein, because the test for protein looks for nitrogen. It doesn't really test protein directly. So this artificially boosts the protein content and has been used for decades fraudulently to do that.
What do you think of the current story in China? Because you wrote in the book that the pet food crisis actually, you know, ultimately may have had a good effect in that it mobilized China. They sent out 33,000 inspectors. They executed one of their food and drug inspectors. But it seems as if the story goes on.
The story goes on. They have a big problem to get under control. Most of the food in China is produced in small backyard operations, 80% of them. It's a very big country. They've never had food and drug laws. They need them very badly, and they need them right away.
Yeah. Well, and why, given that, is the U.S. pet industry so dependent on China? I mean, explain a little bit about what you discovered about the global reality of pet food.
Well, the pet food recalls, I think, were the subtitle of the book is Chihuahua in the Coal Mine for a very, very good reason. This was an early warning of the kinds of problems that we're going to have in our own food supply for people. The things that happened as a result of the recall were revelations that pet foods were made in one place, that surplus pet food was fed to pigs, chickens, and fish.
Well, let's take one of those at a time, that pet foods were made in one place. There was one company in particular, Menu Foods, that made the food for a number of brands.
100 brands.
And as you found out, with very little difference between any of them.
Well, the differences were subtle. And the ingredients for those pet foods, I think of it as like a chef who has piles of ingredients out on the table in front and puts a little bit of this and that in. It worked pretty much the same way. One of those ingredients was wheat gluten, which is a protein binder that kind of holds the ingredients in pet foods together. And the wheat gluten used to be made in the United States, but it's gotten too expensive. So companies started getting it from companies in Asia, one of which was in China. And the Chinese, some very clever Chinese entrepreneur, substituted melamine because it was a lot cheaper to do that.
And yet you're saying this all now, but this trail was kind of hard to find. I mean, you have charts and graphs and timelines in the book to show with arrows and
yes, and they were very difficult to do.
Right. One of the things you discovered, for instance, is that there was a silk manufacturing or a company that claimed to be selling silk scarves.
One of the ingredients in pet food was fraudulently shipped through them.
Let me read their name, because this is, as you write, the wonderfully named Suzu Textiles Silk Light Industrial Products Arts and Crafts Import and Export Company.
Isn't that great?
But, you know, apparently they were a scarf export company that was, you know, just using that as a front to really just ship this tainted wheat gluten.
Yes, and there was another ingredient involved, rice protein concentrate. Same deal. It was melamine plus wheat flour. And it was shipped through another textile company in order to avoid having the substance inspected. So there were lots of fraudulent things going on here.
So a lot of the American companies that ultimately were involved in this really sincerely did not know, you know, where some of the products were coming from, how they might be coming in. And you document how hard it was for scientists to even track down what the problem was.
Well, it was hard to figure out that it was melamine, although I think they should have figured it out a lot sooner because it's been around a long time.
Who knew what when? Now, you write that Menu Foods didn't contact the FDA until a month after they knew animals were dying.
Yeah, the story began with some sick cats, and the owners of those cats looked at the phone number that was on the cans and called that phone number. That phone number somehow got to Menu Foods, which was the original contract manufacturer for the product. And Menu Foods started hearing about problems with sick cats at least 3 weeks before they actually did the recall. And the only reason they did the recall was because one of the products that they were making was IAMS, which is a product that belongs to Procter & Gamble. And IAMS customers called Procter & Gamble. Procter & Gamble has a much more efficient system in place for dealing with this sort of thing. When they got their second call, they knew they had a problem. They called Menu Foods and said, "What's going on?" Menu Foods said, "You know, we changed our wheat gluten supplier."
And you think?
And Procter & Gamble said, "We're doing a recall, and you better do one, too, because we're going to do one."
Well, let's be clear here. The FDA has no authority to order a recall.
The FDA has no authority to order recalls. All it can do is ask companies to do them voluntarily.
And how long before the FDA did that?
It's hard to know exactly where the FDA was in this because there were three things going on. There was Menu Foods, Procter & Gamble, which was pushing very hard to get this stuff recalled, and the FDA trying to figure out. And nobody knew about melamine at that point.
They just knew that cats were dying. Yeah.
And they had no idea why. They couldn't see anything that was obvious.
And dying. I mean, there was kidney failure.
It's kidney failure. It's horrible.
Terrible.
It's horrible. When you think about these babies in China who are dying because melamine is in milk and diluted milk to make the milk look as if it has as much protein as it's supposed to, it really is very upsetting. And I thought the pet food recalls were a sign to everybody that every single one of these ingredients should be checked.
Well, and eventually they did through you, as you always do, tell us all the details of how they actually tracked it to the melamine. And so now we have huge recalls across the country. The FDA, as you write, really underestimated how people felt about their pets. If I got this right, this was the most response they've ever had on their phone lines?
Never. Did the FDA ever get this kind of? There were at least 17,000 or 18,000 phone calls of people reporting sick or dying pets or not knowing what to do. Mm-hmm. And the FDA was not equipped to handle it. Neither was Menu Foods, which got 200,000 phone calls. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I found as I was working on this book was this sort of attitude is, oh, they're just cats and dogs.
Well, people really love their pets, but you had other concerns. That's Marion Nessel. And you are listening to Here and Now. Marion, your book is Pet Food Politics, The Chihuahua in the Coal Mine, and you write that people were missing the chihuahua in the coal mine part of this, of the pet food crisis. Again, their thinking was, oh, these are just cats and dogs, pets.
But if this could happen to pets, it could happen to anybody. It's the same food supply. And one of the really, I mean, there were many astonishing things that happened during the recall. One was the business of feeding surplus pet foods to pigs and chickens. I didn't know that. Or the same ingredients that go into pet foods go into fish feed. Who knew?
And people eat fish.
And people eat fish. And people eat pigs and chickens that were fed melamine-tainted pet food.
So, by the way, has there been any record of this melamine caused kidney failure working its way into a human?
Yes. There was no question that the pigs in particular that had been fed melamine-tainted pet food had already been sold by the time they found out about this and people had eaten them. But fortunately, the amount of melamine was so diluted by the time it got into people that it didn't do any harm. But that's not what's happening in these infants.
Horrible story. But, you know, again, you write that you know, what might happen for China is the same thing that happened in the U.S. or around the time, you know, Upton Sinclair, as you write, documented it in
the jungle. Yeah, I don't think we should be too xenophobic about China. What's going on in China is exactly what went on in the United States before we had food and drug laws. In fact, as a result of this kind of behavior, the food and drug laws were passed.
Decades ago.
Decades ago, 1906.
So give China a chance, perhaps, to have the same, you know, arc that we in the U.S. have had with this story. But how is the U.S. doing now? I mean, as a result of the pet scare?
Well, there are some things that are happening that I think are consoling. One is that pet food companies have gotten their act together, and many of them are doing testing, are resourcing their ingredients, or paying attention to where their ingredients are coming from. It also exposed problems in the FDA, and we don't have a food safety system in this country that covers our food from farm to table. And the result of that are these endless, horrible recalls of tomatoes, or was it jalapeno peppers? Or was it cilantro or peanut butter? I mean, we don't even know what it was in that tomato one. And the inability of the country to get a grip on how food production works and to have a food safety system that covers food from farm to table is something that we're badly lacking and very much need, I think.
Does it just need an overhaul of the agency? This is the time when we're talking about more regulation. Does it just need tougher rules, more staff, more ability to act out, act on something?
Well, it needs all of the above. And the Government Accountability Office has for decades now been saying that what this country needs is a single food safety agency that's separate from drugs. And I see that Rosa DeLauro, who's a congresswoman from Connecticut, has just proposed such a thing. She's not the first person to have done that, but she's one of the most active legislators on food safety issues.
And meanwhile, what about China?
Well, it's hard to know where to begin. It's a very big country with a very big problem. And we've seen since the recalls, the pet food recalls, we had that terrible incident. Fraudulent producers were putting chondroitin sulfate into this drug and calling it heparin because it tested the same way. And now we have this infant formula, which I hope is scary enough and upsetting enough and is causing enough uproar among the mothers of these single children. Right. Remember, we have one child policy in China. So this is a very, very big loss. Will be a wake-up call to the Chinese that they really have to get a grip on this. 18 months ago, they promised that they would clean up their Food Safety Act. They went to an enormous amount of trouble at the time, but they've either backslid or they haven't been able to get a grip on it. They have to, or people won't buy things from China.
That's Marion Nestle. Her latest book is Pet Food Politics, The Chihuahua in the Coal Mine. Marion, thanks so much for talking to me.